I am Pierre Lumumba here at the Windsor Golf Hotel and Country Club in Nairobi, Kenya. And today we wrap our minds around a subject that is as important as it is difficult to deal with: the issue of the healthcare situation in Africa. We are aware that Africa has been ravaged by many diseases, some of which have been with the continent for a long time. Among them, malaria, we have had Ebola, we have had dengue fever, we have had HIV/AIDS. Like the rest of the world, COVID-19 was with us. And today, we are laboring under the burden of Mpox. The question is, how does the continent, as a continent, knowing as we do that the problem transcends and defy boundaries, how do we deal with this situation? We are aware that at the level of individual countries, efforts have been made through research institutes to research around this issue. In Madagascar, we have a renowned institute, the Malagasy Institute of Applied Science. In South Africa, there are a number of universities. In Dakar, Senegal, we have the Louis Pasteur Institute. And in Kenya, the Kenya Medical Research Institute. And indeed, each country has some institute that is trying to look into these issues, but with limited success. And that is why the Center for Disease Control, which is under the aegis of the African Union, which now has 5 regional centers, was thought to be an avenue via which we as a continent could deal with these diseases. But the problem is huge. Huge because the monitoring of, say, polio, which has had debilitating effect, particularly in war-ravaged areas where the vaccination has not happened as it should have. We know, for example, that in areas such as southern Cameroon, where there has been conflict, there has been no vaccination for polio. In the Democratic Republic of Congo, the eastern part of it, in the Chadian Basin, and in different parts such as Sudan, where there is conflict, and even Somalia, we have had cases that are being reported about polio. And that not only is the burden, we know about HIV/AIDS and the impact that it has had, particularly given the problem that we have with nutrition. And the impact of HIV/AIDS have been of such a nature as to create or to leave households which cannot fend for themselves because parents have long died. So that the economic linkage between the disease burden and the situation in Africa is one that must always be recognized as undermining the quality of labor. Because when you have diseases, when you have health issues, it means that the budgets of different countries are then devoted to dealing with issues of health, particularly at the level of treatment rather than at the level of prevention. And stories are told in many African countries of the kind of scorched earth effect of the diseases such as HIV/AIDS. And that is something that cannot be downplayed. Another thing that we have had as a big burden in Africa, of course, is malaria. Malaria has been so devastating that African countries, quite a number of them, have entered into arrangements where they distribute mosquito nets. There have been attempts by quite a number of organizations, both local and international, trying to get into this space. But the question is, how far has that gone? Are these merely tokenist, with the consequence that the impact is not as effective as it should be? And if one does not talk about malaria, one talks about the Johnny come latelys into the arena, such as COVID. And we could see when the COVID-19 came into the world and Africa was affected in a very major way, then we had to deal with the shortage of vaccines. And African countries were running from different parts of the world, whether they were getting it from Pfizer, whether they were getting it Sputnik from Russia and others. The problem was that Africa did not have the level of preparedness that they required to tackle such condition that had arisen without warning and in an environment where the budgets are constrained. We today are also laboring under the weight of Mpox, and somehow there are vaccines that have already been distributed and donated to countries such as the Democratic Republic of Congo. And when one talks about the health situation in Africa, one must remember that there are a number of contributing factors. Some include poverty. Household incomes in many African countries is of such a nature that they cannot afford the medication that they need or the vaccination that they need. And even at the level of countries, although the health burden is something that is recognized as important, African countries have not done what is needed. As early as the year 2001, African heads of states and government gathering in Abuja in the Federal Republic of Nigeria took the decision that African countries will dedicate 15% of their budgets to the health sector. That has not happened. A number of African countries have moved close to it, Rwanda and Botswana and South Africa, but many African countries have not reached even half of what was decided in 2001 under the Abuja Treaty. And that tells you that as long as we don't dedicate our resources to the preventive aspect and therefore the education of the people, then the disease burden is always going to be a debilitating factor in Africa. We see these being reflected in areas such as infant mortality. Infant mortality is high, among other things, because there is no prevention. It is also high because in conflict situation where the internally displaced person, the vaccination that is necessary is not effected as timely as it should be. We also know that even life expectancy in certain areas has reduced. In certain countries, the life expectancy for men has reduced to as low as 45 and 50 for women because of the impact of HIV/AIDS, because of the impact of malaria. And when one talks about that, one must also remember the economic impact, because the quality of labor is also undermined because their health status is compromised. And this also has to do with the nature and quality of nutrition. If the nutrition is not good, then the disease burden is given the latitude to run riot, as we have seen. And this is becoming a very worrying thing because there is no coordination. At the regional level, regional levels, when we talk about regional levels, we are talking about the situations as addressed by the SADC in the southern part of Africa, East African Community, Central Africa, West Africa and ECOWAS, and Maghreb. We are beginning to see a lot more coordination in terms of ensuring that there is monitoring of persons who ought to be vaccinated, the sharing of data of people who are internally displaced or who are refugees. We are also noted that in the recent past, we have what are called the Center for Disease Control, which is under the aegis of the African Union, and there are five of them which cover the different regions. And the whole idea is that the Centers for Disease Control are going to engage in early warning, and they are going to ensure that some of these diseases are identified and tackled very early on, so that they do not confront them when it is too late in the day. But the most important thing to recognize is that we are also migrating from what we thought were debilitating diseases, such as we talked about malaria, we talked about polio, we talked about dengue fever, we talked about Ebola, we talked about Mpox, we talked about HIV/AIDS, but there are also lifestyle diseases which are beginning to become very common in Africa. Diabetes, for example, is beginning to rear its ugly head amongst the middle class, as are heart-related diseases which are beginning to rear their ugly heads in a manner that ought to worry the continent of Africa. In a nutshell, We are looking at a continent that really must tackle the disease burden. The other thing that we don't talk about as often as we should is the impact of conflict in ensuring, and I'm using the word ensuring very deliberately, in ensuring that our problems are not sorted out. Right now, if you look at the many conflicts in the continent of Africa, particularly for young people, you will note that vaccinations have not taken place. Vaccinations are not coordinated. Governments are not capable of collecting data. And I'm not talking about conflict areas in different parts of Africa. I'm talking about conflict areas in southern Cameroon. I'm talking about conflict areas where there is insurgency in Mali, in Niger, in Burkina Faso. I'm talking about the conflict situation in the Sudan, where we have over 1.8 million refugees that have left Sudan and gone into Chad, no vaccination. We are talking about the situation in Somalia. We are talking about the situation in the Democratic Republic of Congo, no vaccination. Or if there is vaccination, it is not coordinated so that data is not kept and kept in a manner that is reliable. The continent of Africa is laboring under many diseases, some of which we have named and many of which are silent killers. And the sooner that the continent confronts these diseases, the safer, because a healthy nation or healthy nations are critical to the creation of an economic environment that will be competitive. You need your young men and women to grow into adulthood healthy so that they can contribute to the economy in a positive manner. And the health sector is one that must be given the attention that it deserves, so that these diseases, which have been eliminated elsewhere in different parts of the world, are given the sucker punch that they need in order not to continue tormenting the continent of Africa. Not easy, but it must be done. Goodbye from the Windsor Golf Hotel and Country Club. We see you again to continue the conversation about the continent of Africa.